Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. I have with me Jodie Gagné. Jodie and I had a conversation about a month ago now, and for some reason it didn't record properly. So this is going to be such fun again to talk to her about her expertise. Now, Jodie is an energy and emotional freedom techniques or EFT practitioner. And she draws from over 30 years experience in the theatre, weddings, and as an event coach for high-achieving women. She helps them reclaim the energy needed to keep crushing without crashing. I always love that terminology. That just makes so important. And to recognise that, Jodie, that's obviously where we're going with the conversation. With longevity and legacy in mind, Jodie guides them towards opportunities that enhance productivity, emotional resilience, mental well-being, and a sustainable peak performance. Welcome again, Jodie.
Thank you so much, Janine. I am so looking forward to this. I loved our chat the first time around, so it just promises to be even better.
It's really interesting, isn't it, when you do something for a second time that you've done and you think, oh, now, particularly with interviews, we were strangers on the first interview and now it's a lot more familiar. And obviously my listeners can tell by your accent that you don't reside or you're not Australian.
I have an accent? What are you talking about?
No, it's the Aussie accent.
I love it. Yeah, so I'm calling from Toronto, Canada.
Mm, very nice. Yeah. And we had conversations about having been there in summer and just absolutely loved pedaling around the island and a baseball game at the CN Tower with the Blue Jays and the Yankees. I saw a game and the Blue Jays.
Oh, so you were close. You were definitely close to where I'm staying. Okay. That's hilarious. I love that.
And it was the Blue Jays scored 8 runs in the first innings and then they ended up winning a 9-8.
Wow.
It was, and I took a friend who'd never seen a baseball game before, and it was a real adventure because the serving of alcohol is quite a bit different, and people coming into the stands to serve you your food and drinks, and the size of the popcorn buckets or troughs.
I love it. So the things we take for granted, you're like, whoa, what is this?
I know. It was, and I was sitting next to a young Asian woman who was there with some friends, and she was visiting Canada as well. And she, between the three of us, we're just looking around everywhere. The game was fun. The audience was even more fun.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I haven't been to a baseball game in like, oh my gosh, it feels like 1,000 years. It's been such a long time. So yeah, you probably actually came earlier. So when were you here? Like 2000, like when was the last time you
were here? I'm trying to think. Maybe 17.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I think the last time I went to go and see a baseball game, it was probably 2006, 2007. And we're talking like it's 40 minutes away from me. So it's not as if it's like such a hike. But right. Yeah. I always think it's so funny when you have people come into where your residence and then they're like, oh, let's go and visit. So what's close to me is Niagara Falls.
Right.
And then oh my gosh, you know what? It's been like 15 years since I've been to Niagara Falls. And like, really? It's only an hour and a half away. But I'm like, yeah, no.
And look, it's exactly the same here. There's so many Australians haven't seen Australia, but Australians are avid travellers and they've seen a lot of the world. And before we get into anything, I have to tell you, we're at Niagara Falls. You look at the falls during the day, you did the Maid of the Mist down the bottom, come back, later in the afternoon and the water's still running, turn up at midnight, the water's still running. I don't know that I expected it to be turned off or something, but it just went, oh, it's still flowing over the edge. It was very impressive. It's something I would suggest people to see. Yes, absolutely. Yep.
And just so you know, I have never been on the Maiden of the Mist or Maid of the Mist. I don't even remember what it's called. I have never been on that.
Oh, there's something for this summer. You get some visitors over take them there. All right, let's get back to I love it. Yeah, travel is it's exciting. EFT, Jody, I just read a little bit about you. Tell me about Jody Gagne.
Oh, okay. So the best story that I love to tell, honestly, is the one that's the most recent, which is where I got kidnapped out of my old life as a wedding planner for 23 years and found myself at a bit of a crossroads of exactly what you're asking. Who am I? What is it that I want out of life and stuff? And I loved what I did as a wedding planner, but there was something else that I was looking for, but I'll be honest with you, I had no idea what it was, what it could be, whether it was too late for me. The idea of starting over, the idea of trying to figure out what is it that I'm even qualified to do. All I've known is theater as a stage manager and a lighting designer and as wedding planning, and that all worked very, very well together. But I knew the wear and tear on my body as a wedding planner was not something that I was going, it wasn't going to be sustainable for very much longer. And so I spent the year of the pandemic just sort of really sitting with this idea of what could be next? Is there something next? I think probably after about maybe 6 weeks or so, and I was definitely in charge of rescheduling weddings and replanning weddings and stuff. So it wasn't as if my schedule had completely emptied, but it was emptier than it had ever been. And so I think the thought was, what would help me find that fulfillment or that thing that I felt was missing in my life? And it wasn't until 2021 where the late Bob Proctor said, just make a decision. And I went, great. For what? And that day, energy coaching came across my desk. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's it. Mm-hmm. And my husband says, great, what is it? I'm like, I have no idea. But that's it. And that is probably the beginning of my journey of starting to learn more about who Jody was. Mm. Who am I? How do I fit in? Where have I come from? And how do I wish to continue moving forward? And it has been an incredible journey that it's still going. It's 3 years. And I'm still really peeling back the layers of trying to discover who I am. I think the best word would be, I am a student. And I am now just open to learning.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that that's such an important factor to remember, that no matter how much experience and in a technique and ability, no matter how much experience in life, we are all continue to be students.
Yeah.
We're continuing to learn as we go, because we're not learning, we're deteriorating. We've got to continue growing, and it doesn't matter what age, does it? It's really interesting you brought up Bob Proctor. I interviewed a woman who, an Australian woman, this week, whose podcast interview is coming up in July, and she was stuck in Canada. She was a student of Bob Proctor. She was stuck in Canada during the COVID lockdowns, and he would say, give her a call and say, come over and we'll have a conversation. And she spent the whole time just as these one-on-ones with him all the time. So amazing, the insights. And someone brought up his name when I was out to dinner last night. And also I mentioned that for about 10 years I received a thought of the day from Bob Proctor email.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, that to me was a turning point, and it was a live free challenge. So it's not as if I had a one-on-one with Bob, but it was that moment that was just me and him, and that moment allowed me to step into the portal. I joke around, like I literally stepped in to a new portal, because energy psychology, a laws of attraction, that I had no clue what that was. Like, my idea of energy was I either had it or I didn't. And so all of a sudden I started to discover this incredible world that had so much to offer, and it was in such support of well-being, that it was well-being wasn't part of my vocabulary. Like, to me, it was just get it done. Like, do the work, get her done, whatever you had to do. It didn't matter. Like, I would do a wedding one, and I remember this one particular time, I had a fever of 104. It did not even cross my mind to call in sick. I couldn't imagine. So it was all about pushing myself. I was on top of a ladder, I'm hanging lights, and then I would be queuing. The different vendors, and I remember my assistant saying, "Jody, all of a sudden you stop, you sit on the grass," and I thought I was going to lose you. And it literally was just like there was no thought of I need to go home, I need to pack it in. It was, I made a promise to this couple and I will do it no matter what. It literally, it's the show must go on mentality. And so well-being wasn't part of my vocabulary.
No, and do you find that now with the high achieving clients? I mean, and that's where you've moved into that space because you really understand it.
Yeah.
You're still seeing people doing the same thing. Because my thoughts over after COVID is that people recognize that if we're not feeling well now, you're not welcome in the office. Really, that's a big change as opposed to if you're not feeling it well, just get your butt in here. It doesn't matter. Whereas
Yeah,
now they're
suck it
telling
up.
people don't come to work.
Yeah, I think that was probably one of the gifts. Don't you agree? One of the gifts of COVID was the fact that all of a sudden, even though it comes from the standpoint of please stay away, it was a recognition of, yeah, please, like, stay home until you're better.
And I think, and I, that's probably a good thing out of it. That I think what I think feel about that is that people now have permission to look after themselves and put themselves first. That's where I would come with from in that angle of going, okay, I don't have to push it. I remember when I was in a GM role, I had a bit of surgery on my neck and I had to go get stitches out and I drove 30 minutes into the city and was waiting, and the doctor was running 30 minutes late. And all I could think of was having to get back to work to do some things. And in the end, I just walked out. I then had to try and find time after hours to find a nurse to and then get a report back. So in the long run, it took longer, but it was just this impatience that I
Yeah.
had with getting jobs done and work done and placing things that really weren't that important as a priority, but it's when you're in that space, it's really hard to go, okay, this is dumb, Janine.
Yeah.
Look after yourself.
But I don't think you think like that, right? That's the thing. Like, it's we are wired to achieve. We are wired to work. We are wired to exceed it, like to meet, exceed expectations. And I think there's also probably a part of us that says that we almost don't want to be told that we can't do something, right? I will show you, right? I can do it. Nothing's going to stop me. And so there's probably the sense of pride also, like, you know what I mean, of like, look at the superhero in me, like, and so it completely is understandable that we hold ourselves to these extremely high and sometimes unrealistic expectations, and I don't think we really think through the fallout, because we almost disregard the person, like ourselves, as important, because in that main frame of mind, everyone else is important. Their needs are important. And it's almost the sense of suck it up, Jody, and get her done, because you have a job to do and you're going to let people down if you don't do it.
And it comes from that space, but I also like that you said that the look at me, I'm a superhero. Now, that is, ladies, I'm going to call you out on this. If that really look at yourself and see whether you own that, because I will put my hand up that it was something that I've had to work on for a long time. It's and when someone says, oh my gosh, you do so much, how do you get it done? It's like this little pat on the back. How good are you? And it's getting that validation from the wrong place.
Yeah. But it's interesting, because I remember, so I had two kids within 13 months of each other, and then my third child was my wedding planning company, Simply Perfect. So literally 99, 2000, 2001. So I am now balancing raising two kids as a solo mom, because my husband was in film and is still in film and television. And so his hours were crazy. We would say goodbye to him Sunday night. We would see him the following Saturday morning. So it was up to me to be the caregiver and to be, you know, to raise the kids, as well as now starting a company. And it probably took, like, so my hours were weird, right? So I would, you know, be in the office around midnight. And then my first meeting in the morning at 8 a.m. was actually with the kids at the park, right? And then there was, and you work all these weird hours. And I remember this woman, Heather Reisman. So she's Chapters in Indigo bookstore here. And it's a massive chain. And she said the most profound thing, which was, women, you can do it. You can do it all. Absolutely. Just not all at the same time. And I still get shivers just thinking. And I remember looking at her going, why didn't someone tell me that? Right? Like, why didn't someone interrupt my chase that I could have it all? But juggling, raising kids, starting a company, nurturing a family, nurturing relationships, all of it is too much all at the same time, because that's something is bound to fall or get out of sorts. And to me, that was probably the most brilliant thing I'd heard, but almost 10 years too late.
It just makes so much sense, and recognize you. Well, of course you can do it all. But just don't try and do it all at once. And as you said, something always fails then. And there's a, you know, the high divorce rate is probably representative of that. I've got to do everything. And then there's a whole lot of issues that then play or become obvious, or when we're stressed, nothing seems to go right either.
Well, you look at, yes, it affects relationships, but it also affects health. How many people are like really struggling right now, right? Yeah. Like, you think about, and in all the cases, all of what's causing it is stress. It's stress, whether it's stress that we put on ourselves, if it's stress in the environment, stress from the relationship, stress from whatever that case may be. That is the underlying cause of everything. And it really is about, how do I manage my stress? I don't think you can actually ever get rid of it, but how do I manage my stress in support of my well-being so that I can function in a way that's sustainable in all areas of my life without feeling like I'm letting myself down and letting anyone else down? Like, I think it's really finding that balance, and it's different for everybody.
And I'm writing that down, managing stress in support of your life. That's such important. I was at a business event, and the speaker was a naturopath kinesiologist, and that's what she was talking about. It was stress in business and all the components of it, and how it causes disorder and dis-ease and in the body, and how to make sure that we can, you know, as you said, try and manage it in a way and finding different tools. And I imagine EFT, if you want to explain EFT to people, that haven't heard before. Yeah.
Absolutely. So emotional freedom techniques, or EFT, also known as tapping. It's basically, think about acupuncture, but without the needles, where we are stimulating different points on the face and body. That is, it's addressing the stress directly and allowing the opportunity for your, for the signal to be sent to your amygdala that we don't need to be in a fight or flight response. So it actually deactivates the stress, the flight fight response. And to me, the way I like to explain EFT is that EFT is able to regulate your nervous system in such a way where it creates a space from the problem and the solution. So when you are faced with a problem, and if you can actually visualize, the problem is literally in your face, you can't see anything beyond the problem and or the stress or whatever the situation may be, because you are so hyper-focused. EFT actually allows this almost this relaxation and this regulation of your nervous system. And it almost as if it pushes the situation or the problem or the stress out just a little bit. And if you imagine having your hand moving a little bit away from your face, all of a sudden now you're able to, your perspective changes. You're able to see potentially solutions, because now that you're out of the stress response, you now can activate your creativity. And when we can activate our creativity and our imagination, we now have the ability to find solutions, because we're not now reacting from a point of, I got to get out of here and I got to. That's probably almost more imaginative than I've ever described it. And hopefully it makes sense. I just really love the visual of creating the space that opens the opportunity to choose how to either see it, how to react, or how to be able to solve.
And it's that overthinking of points, as you're saying, that the problem's right up in your face, because and the overthinking and the churning it up, the things that keep you awake at night, that you while you're there, you won't get clarity.
Yeah.
There's something that's got to come in, and EFT is a technique that has to come in to go, all right, you're saying that it moves away from you, or so you step back from it and look at it, as you said, from a different perspective. And you can sort of look at it then from all different angles as well when it's.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, it interrupts whatever behavior you're engaging in and opens the door for multiple perspectives.
And with your clients, we've discussed I've discussed, mentioned what I think the problems are. You're working with them all day long. What are you seeing that level of stress representing itself as in their lives?
Oh my gosh, I don't know how to answer that question.
And this is good marketing material, because this is,
How does it activate?
Do you find that when you are in that stress situation, especially with high performing women, and this comes up all the time, that sense of, I'm an imposter, I can't get the job done, I don't know what I'm doing, that they're in that space rather than being able to, and it creates that nervous energy rather than being able to step back and going, you know what, I think I got it.
Yeah. Okay, so what it is it's acknowledging the fact that there is going to be these parts of ourselves that have self-doubt. There are these parts of ourselves that have certain reactions or certain emotions. And for some reason, society has said, we're not supposed to feel anger. We're not supposed to act like this. And so it literally is giving an individual permission to become aware and acknowledge that even though this is happening and it makes me feel this, that is perfectly okay.
Yeah.
And that is literally what it's doing, because what it allows, it all of a sudden, it removes the judgment of, I shouldn't be feeling like this. This shouldn't be happening. And this shouldn't have happened. And that person shouldn't be. And so it removes the judgment and allows you to be able to just acknowledge that even though I have this problem and it sucks, I am showing myself some compassion. And it removes the charge.
Yeah. The word should, I often say people should all over themselves. It's And it is that sense, but and particularly depending on the age, but I imagine with a lot of your clients, they're in that sandwich generation, which means they've got their children that they're responsible for, you know, relationship with their partners, they're working, you know, dynamic jobs or, you know, just intense jobs. And then they have the parents that they're responsible for as well. And so this word should, oh, I should go and visit them. I should do this. I should make sure I take them shopping. I should make sure that I get the kids to football. I should make sure that there's this all the time, isn't it? It's,
yeah.
It's, I think I know, you know, my parents have passed now, but I know in that 40 to 50 year old age group where a lot of that's going on, I think that's probably the most intense that because a lot of people have moved, they've had their children, they've gone back into careers, and they're, you know, trying to, for women, gain back some of the lost time that they had while they were having children. And that becomes, I've got to perform better than the men, I've got to, you know, there's all this intensity. And I think it's really,
I have
tough.
Time to make up. Yeah, you're right. I have time. I have to make up time for the fact that I am not where I thought I would be. I think that's a lot of the thought process too, is that I'm not where I should have been or I thought that I would be by this time. And so all of a sudden, you're looking at life in terms of, what have I done wrong? What didn't I do enough of? Or, and it's challenging, especially when there's so many obligations and expectations and responsibilities and stuff that we sometimes feel chained to. And so having a tool such as tapping just allows you to acknowledge that even though I feel overwhelmed, or even though I really don't want to go and visit, even though it's just allowing that little space to acknowledge that I don't want to do it, and that's okay. Doesn't mean you're not going to go do it, but you're just acknowledging the fact that there's a part of me that just doesn't want to do this, right? Like I do that all the time, even though I don't feel like going into the office today, right? I am showing myself some compassion, even though I really, really don't want to do any work. I am showing myself some compassion. And it's just like, how refreshing is it to just say, even though, like to me, just to admit, to be honest, it's not about complaining. It's not about grabbing onto the negative. It is just about honoring what feels true for you now. It's being honest. It's just being honest. And to me, that's just like, no judgment. I'm just being honest of the way I'm feeling right now. And then I can let it go.
And that's the tough part. There's no judgment on the particular feeling or emotion, because that's where we'll, again, we'll shoot ourselves. We'll go, I shouldn't be feeling like this. You know, I love my children. I shouldn't feel that I want to spend a week away from them.
Judgment is, I almost feel like judgment could be a bit of a silent killer, or, Leo, it's, judgment is probably a very strong hold that it has over us that I don't even recognize. I don't even know if we recognize the power of that voice. Because we are so distracted by the noise that it just ends up being this underlining static. And until we start to introduce the silence or the stillness, that is when we actually can hear the words that that voice is saying to us. And that's when it becomes really interesting of going, oh my gosh, I never realized how harsh I was with myself. Or I never realized on how I speak to myself, or like I would never say that to a friend or to someone else. But why is it so easy for me to say that? But I don't think I'd ever recognized that voice until the silence, until I started to introduce that silence, because it literally was part of the static. And it was just a driver. It would just push me, push me, push me. And I couldn't even point a finger and saying, what is pushing me?
And I'm sure you're not alone with that. It does take stopping, doesn't it? I remember when we had the conversation last time, you talked about the word zap. Is that?
Oh, a zap. Yeah. So it's like a little energy zap of when something hits you, you know? And it's interesting because I don't think I'd ever really recognize the zap until I started to really activate my own awareness and really start to become more intentional about recognizing how I was reacting to certain things, recognizing what would happen if someone would say something. And so it's almost this little zzz that you would feel. So if I should say something to you and all of a sudden you're like, oh, that hit me a certain way. It's like it almost like a little energy surge that goes through your body. And when you activate this awareness, there is this sensitivity. And I don't mean sensitivity in the sense, and now all of a sudden I'm crying all the time, but it's a sensitivity in recognizing when there is a shift that I have gotten hit, or they have said something that has caused me to be taken aback. Mm-hmm. By those words. And so now I could say, now I am learning to be able to say something like, oh, actually that came across, I feel that that came across a little harsh. And now all of a sudden I'm able to generate this conversation by literally presencing myself and then voicing how that was received. So now we can have a conversation where the other person can say, yeah, you know what, that I did, and I didn't, I really apologize. You know what, I said that, but it was actually out of a fear of, or, you know what, I was actually thinking of something else. And I think I said something I shouldn't have said, you know what I mean? So it really all of a sudden creates this awareness, but I don't walk away now thinking or meaning making meaning to whatever was said about, like, oh, that person now thinks that I'm this, or I'm not smart enough, or I didn't. Do you know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden now the stories that I would have made up, I can stop and I can actually say, hey, what was that? What happened here? So this is still a process I am learning, because there is a knee-jerk reaction that we do, right?
Oh. Most definitely. It would take courage to do that. And that's because, again, oh, if I say something, am I going to offend that person? You know, that because what will they think of me then? It's that,
yes,
again, this cool, judgment absolutely. Of self and of others. I know I can be quick to respond. And then I have this little thing that I do. I go step back and go, Janine, was it really the way that you needed to respond to that? And go, okay, no, that probably wasn't. It's, and then look at that. Why was that a trigger? When you're doing that, going, okay, so why did that trigger? Oh, I don't know. Actually, I don't really care that much, but it triggered at that particular time. And thinking,
but that's beautiful, because you're activating awareness, right? You're becoming curious about, hey, what's like, what was going on there? And then you could take that a step further if you so chose, right? Of like, okay, let's get a little bit closer of what is that stemming from. And that's the journey I found myself on, which sometimes is incredible and then sometimes incredibly, oh my gosh, this is who I am. Oh my gosh, right? And so it's humbling. It's messy. It rips you open in certain in places that you're like, wow. But it is enlightening at the same time, right? Because you recognize that a lot of our reactions are autopilot. They're not aware of the way we act and the way we behave because we've got other stuff we're working on, right? And so when you actually become curious about where did that come from? What is going on? It allows you to show up so differently and to actually engage in conversations that allow you to be able to actually see the other person as well. And so to me, I just think that that's just, I don't know, the connections just end up being so much more engaging and inspiring and inviting, and even to be able to say, oh, that's interesting. When you said that, I felt X. That's interesting. I'm curious to know more about that. And the person goes, oh, actually, yeah, I'm curious to know why I said it that way. Like my husband will say to me, he's like, Jody, are you hearing yourself? And I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of anger coming out. I said, I must be leaking, right? Because and it's a joke for us now because anger was not an emotion that I went to. Like I would never have said Jody anger in the same sentence. Well, last year I discovered this emotion, and I remember turning to my husband. I'm like, oh, what is this? I'm like, how do people live with, like, it was so uncomfortable to have this kind of emotion, like moving around. And I just thought, oh my gosh. So now the joke is I'm leaking anger and it's coming out in a way, but my husband, now we have this safe word, if you will, that allows me to be, I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. Like, what's going on? Where is this? And someone has said to me, anger, it's not about removing, it's about tampering it. And
I was going to ask that question. Is anger wrong? You know, is that, again, if we go to an angry space, is that, again, judgment going, well, I shouldn't be angry about this? Well, maybe you have every right to be angry about a situation.
And I think it's a matter of looking at emotions as they're not good or bad or wrong or right. Like, look at it as a positive emotion or a negative emotion. It's really just the vibration of the emotion. And all emotions, it's really just information. It is just letting us know that something is misaligned right now if it's a negative emotion. And that's it. Because you're right. Like, there is no, like, anger is a fantastic emotion. It's an activator. It's a fire emotion. It gets crap done, right? And so it's really just allowing ourselves to recognize that emotions is literally giving me the breadcrumbs. It's giving me some information, and then I have a choice of where to go from there. But I think it's literally allowing ourselves to just acknowledge and honor the emotion. Because have you ever sat with an emotion? I decided to test this. I was feeling a lot of sadness. And when I sat with it, because they tell you 90 seconds, and I'll be honest with you, literally to ride the wave of emotion, it is 90 seconds. And that doesn't mean it doesn't come back. But when you actually just ride the wave and allow it to just well up, it feels like it's going to be forever. But it is incredible that we resist that discomfort so much that we don't even allow ourselves to be able to ride it, because we're like, no, don't have time for that. I will do it later. And anger, I think, scares a lot of people because they don't know what's on the other side of it. And so it's really maybe redefining our relationships with emotions. And not looking at emotions as a scary thing because we can't control it. It's really looking at it from a very different standpoint.
And that's really just made me very aware of something over the last period of time, because of, you know, different ideas and different beliefs. I have lost some friends, and, you know, just being aware of that, it's a sense of loss. It's and being able to, you know, there, it's a sadness that that loss is there. It won't change the situation, but it is recognizing that it's okay to have that, isn't it? You know,
and just honoring the fact that you had something and it is no longer, and there is a grieving process that needs to happen. It could be, whether it's a relationship, it could be a job, it could be a weekend plan, you know what I mean, like a trip. It honestly, there are so many different levels of grief, of loss, of emotions, and I think it's just easier for us to just shut it down, because it's uncomfortable. And I think there's this discomfort that it's almost too much, because we don't know how do you manage discomfort. How do you sit through that? It's like not knowing what to say when someone's going through a hard time, and how do you show up for yourself when you're going through a hard time? Because it is easier to just say, you know what, doesn't matter, we don't need them, right? Again, suck it up, move on. But there is a part of us that just needs to really to be have someone look at you and say, I am so sorry that you're going through that, and that you don't have the support that you needed. Like that empathy, that compassion, that witnessing, to be witnessed.
That's exactly right. That I'm so sorry you're going through this is such, that's so very powerful words, isn't it? You know, this morning on Facebook, a connection of mine who was a friend who was very emotional last night because her friend's husband passed away very suddenly. And so, you know, so on Facebook, sort of gone on and saying, you know, I'm so sorry for your loss. And we do that at the time, but without recognizing that that loss is, well, I understand that loss, but
yes.
Yeah, but there's other losses which, as you said, they may not seem as, you know, they're probably not as serious as losing somebody in finality, but there's still that loss.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing too, is not comparing the loss, because then there's almost like you're removing the right to feel. Well, I shouldn't feel like this because someone else has it so much worse. Right. Then there's the guilt for feeling the way that I feel because, well, right. And so it's removing the comparison and literally seeing it is, I was vulnerable, or I opened myself up to an experience and it didn't happen. That is a loss, because there was a hoping, or there was an opening to receive something and I didn't receive it. And there's a vulnerability in the opening up. And when there is a vulnerability, there loss can a loss can happen. And I remember my son, he was 16 years old, and he dated someone only for a couple of months. And he was heartbroken when they broke up. And he says, well, I know it's not, you know, it was only a couple of months, and it's not as if, you know, yeah, like you and dad, if you were married, like if you decided to get a divorce after 25 years. And I said, it doesn't matter. You opened yourself up. You shared yourself with another human being. There's a vulnerability in that. And it doesn't matter whether it was a day, a week, a year, a decade. It's honoring that connection that you had that is no longer.
That's really powerful words, Jody. And I think that is important for all of us to to recognize that, and it's not having that comparison. It's that, I think that's such an important factor. When we spoke last time, you mentioned something called PACT.
Ah, I was hoping you'd bring that up because I'm still playing with it, right? So PACT stands for permission to act differently and in support of our well-being. So P stands for permission. A, because I like my little acronyms. A stands for activate awareness, what you and I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
C stands for cultivating curiosity and compassion. And T is transformation, or transforming our knee-jerk reactions. So literally it is a step in terms of, and the way that I look with PACT, it's emotions, I think, are the fuel, right? It's the fuel for our performance. It's our navigating system, right? And so the permission to act, it's really like once we activate our awareness of what is going on, the emotions that are coming, and cultivating that curiosity and that compassion. And I think compassion is that key of just being compassionate with ourselves, but being curious, like what is, you know, of seeing the way that that might be popping up in our lives, it gives us the ability or that space to choose and not all of a sudden do the knee-jerk reactions or show up in such a way where it's autopilot, but really become intentional about how we wish to respond. How do I want to show up? Because anyone, if you think about stress or things that are being thrown at you and you're now stuck in a corner, someone who's backed up into a corner is going to act very, very differently than someone who doesn't have, literally, who doesn't have their back up against the wall.
Yeah.
And so it's recognizing that when you create this field of knowing that things are going to fly at you, there's going to be stress, but when you can actually to practice it in such a way that allows you to be able to see things and not take it so personally, it gives you the tools to be able to show up differently. So PACT to me, it's like I said, it's something that I'm working on as a step by step to really break down the process, so that it becomes this very natural way of showing up and not taking it to a point where we judge ourselves like, oh wow, I didn't do that. I've done it. Yeah, exactly. And it just allows us to be able to say, oh, that's interesting that I reacted that way. What's going on?
Yeah.
And then showing ourselves some kindness.
And then obviously with the EFT to lock it in, the behaviors.
It's not even that it locks it in, but it really does, because it deactivates the stress response, it actually activates the rest response or our vagal nerve in our system. So think about it as it's all that blood that literally left our brain and went into our extremities so we could run away from the tiger.
Mm-hmm.
EFT allows all of that blood to go back into the brain, so we now are able to creatively think, respond, because it has now activated our rest and rejuvenation, or that vagal nerve that allows us to be able to go like, oh no, we're okay, we're safe, there's no tiger. And it allows us to be able to show up the way that we want to show up, because we're no longer in the stress response.
Yeah, excellent. I can't believe that we've nearly spoken for an hour again. It goes so fast.
I love it. What a treat, though. I so enjoyed our part two, if you will.
I certainly have as well. We always have three takeaway points, Jodi.
Yeah.
Can you share those takeaway points?
Okay. So emotions. Emotions are our clues. They're our breadcrumbs. Stillness. As challenging as that is for a high achiever, it's finding those pockets of pause
mm-hmm.
where we can open the door to be curious about what is possible in terms of who we are, how we wish to show up. And then finding a modality such as EFT tapping or breath work that allows us to be able to interrupt the automatic patterns.
Mm.
So that, think of it as a practice, because it's not something like I joke around, like I've been doing this forever. How come I'm still reacting certain things, right? It is an ongoing practice. I don't believe it's something we master. Well, I haven't gotten to the master part yet. Mm. It is bringing in modalities that allow us to practice when everything is so far so good, okay,
mm-hmm.
that allows us to be able to make it even better the next time we are presented with a lesson, because we know life throws many lessons our ways.
It certainly does, and it does need something like EFT, or as you said, some form of modality to change the way we do things.
An interrupter. It's an interrupter.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Jodi, if people want to talk to you and find out more about what you do, how can they do that?
Best way probably is LinkedIn. I have a LinkedIn profile, which I'll probably have you check out to see if I'm nailing my profile.
I will do that.
if they wish, and I think I've shared it with you, is that if they wanted to do a breakthrough call, we could always strike up a conversation and stuff. So I'll give you that link and they can set up a 20-minute conversation and we could chat.
And it doesn't matter where you are in the world.
It does not.
As we've done that. Thank you very much for that, Jodi. Thank you again for your time, your expertise, your knowledge. Wonderful conversation. I've just had such a great... it's what I love is when I'm speaking to the different people I interview, is I learn something every single time. And even though we've already spoken, it's given me opportunity to pause and think also. So thank you so much for that. All the contact details will be in the show notes for people who do want to get in contact with Jodi. But that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Remember to go to JeaneVosper.com, book a strategy call. We can have a conversation about how I might be able to assist you with some business breakthroughs, whether it be sales or speaking or branding, and or if it's something else, I'm sure there's somebody I know that can assist you. Remember, have an amazing life. Thank you again, Jodi, and bye-bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Jeaneen's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.